Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. So one of the ways in which people seek happiness is through relationships, but that is also one of the ways that people cause a lot of misery towards themselves and other people. So to understand a little bit more about how can we have better relationship and the effects of feminine and masculine energies within the relationship, I have invited a coach who is an expert on this topic. So, Miss Toni Marie is an intuitive, transformational, and spiritual coach, also the author of relationship book, From Me to We. She believes to reach our highest potential, we should all be directed from a place of love and passion. She also believes that everything we dream is possible, and depression, anxiety, toxic relationship, etc., is an unnatural state of being. In order to bridge that gap, we need to look deep to see in how many ways are we limiting ourselves through our self-doubt, fears, sabotaging beliefs, and so on. And this is exactly what she does. She helps people clear obstacles resulting in long-lasting transformation. She has helped thousands and thousands of people to find and resolve and transform their life and relationships. And the modalities in which she helps them is through psychology, NLP, life coaching, Akashic cleaning, theta, Reiki, pranic healing, and proactive breathwork. So I'm so excited to invite her onto the show today and just learn a lot about how can we have better relationship and what can we do to manage them. So thank you so much, Toni, for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Nia, for the beautiful introduction. So on your point in how we go into relationships, thinking is going to solve every single problem we have. And in fact, what it does is it brings up all the wounds we suffered as childhood in terms of love and what love means to us. And the more wounded we are as children, the more we bring that to the relationship. So we manifest it into our reality again and again.
So I love how you use the word wounded. Can you explain a little bit about what is a wounded relationship? Let's start with that, and then we can dive in much deeper. How do we know that we are in a wounded relationship, and what does being wounded mean?
To a woman, being wounded means feelings of being unheard, unseen, unrecognized. And to a man is the feeling of being, for example, emasculated to a strong extent. Also, for a man, is being criticized. So they have very sensitive egos, wounded men. If the guy is a bit flaky, he's in his wounded feminine, because that's the feminine energy. And so if the woman also is like overgiving, overdoing, she's also in her wounded, but wounded masculine energy. So sometimes as women and men, we change spaces. We go into our other wound, and we get the counterbalance. So basically, in order to get good relationships, we need to heal our wounds to have healthier and balanced relationships.
Interesting. I love the way you use the word feminine and masculine energy, and I'm really curious about that. So what exactly is feminine energy, and what exactly is masculine energy? Because from the word, it feels like feminine is or just for women and masculine just for men. And I'm guessing that's not the case. So can you dive in a little bit in that?
Of course. Obviously, every energy can belong more to women and men.
Yeah.
In case of feminine energy, females are supposed to have intuition. Why? Because we take care of little babies. We need to nurture them and bring them to the world. Now, we need to understand what problems they have, what's happening. Do they need to pee? They need to eat, they need to, what do they need to do without communicating in words? So our intuition is highly in tuned. And that's why women are generally much more intuitive than men. That being said, many men also are very intuitive. For a man, for example, being target-oriented, focused has been, for example, let's look at hunting, which hunting like an animal that they wanted to take to their home, they needed to be focused. While a woman can multitask because she needed to take care of, for example, the food, the kid, the cleaning of the house. So a woman is naturally multitasking because she needed to take care of variety
of
things.
So it's like a nurturing energy.
Nurturing energy as opposed to overgiving.
Right.
Now, the masculine energy is about providing. So he brings the meat, he goes, he targets the animal. He cannot multitask. He can't go after a rabbit and a fox in the same time. He needs to hunt one animal, bring it home to his family, and provide. So a man is a provider, a woman is a nurturer. And there's a big difference between nurturing and being the provider.
Right.
And sometimes the woman starts over giving, and that is, they start instructing the man on how he can be better. And men hate that because especially a wounded masculine hates to be told that he's not good enough. While as a woman, she generally wants support. She gives support to receive support. A man doesn't give support out of respect because he believes if you want support, you will ask for it.
Interesting.
So this is a very common way men and women actually trigger each other in a relationship because the woman is supporting a man in a way that he doesn't want to be supported. Like, for example, giving instruction to a man and the man is like, okay, you think I don't know? Because the whole concept of a man was always about knowing. And when we are actually telling him how he should do things better, we're actually telling him he's not man enough. So that's very unconscious, and therefore men react and get triggered, but they don't know why they get triggered. They just get triggered.
Interesting. So how do you go about, okay, you're in a relationship with someone, and okay, clearly your needs are not being met. How do you then communicate it with your partner without triggering their ego or without triggering their wounds, per se?
So if you need something from a man, first of all, most women deny their needs and they're too much again in their strong masculine energy where they think their needs are not important. Every need we have is important. That's the first thing that we need to realize.
As women. So as a woman in the relationship. Okay.
Everyone. We need to understand our needs are important.
Okay.
Now, how we ask for that need from a man without triggering him.
Yeah.
What we need to do is we need to say to the guy or ask for support how we say we need this because of this. So if you give me this, this is what it will give to me. The guy would love to support you. He feels more like a man when he supports you. After doing that, really appreciate him. Like, be like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Thank you for doing that. True appreciation makes a man do more for you. And the more he does, the more he feels love towards you. He doesn't feel more love by you doing a lot for him. He feels more love by doing a lot for you. But if you ask correctly.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. So what about in the case of a man? So let's say as a man, you have certain needs from your wife. What would needs of men be that's different from women?
Well, a man needs to be appreciated. He needs to be your hero in a way. And he needs to be known for being able to take care of things himself. So if you, for example, as a man, if he makes a mistake and he doesn't take his passport, say, to the airport, and then he calls his wife, rather than the wife say, I told you, be careful, she should really look at saying to him, oh, that was silly, funny, what are you going to do about it? So allow him to give solutions. Allow him, or the cleverest woman is the woman who can make the guy think it's his idea, even if it's hers.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. So what would you say are, in your experience with all the kinds of people that you worked with, what have been the typical core issues when it comes to relationships?
So one of the core issues is that the women giving over support, trying to change the man. Men
change
hate that.
The man. Yes. Oh, wow, okay.
And the typical thing that women also complain about is that the man works too long hours, he's not given enough time to his wife and his children or whatever. And in that case or scenario, the man needs to, or he feels he's given love by providing to his family. So he feels that the woman should appreciate him more. What a woman does, woman counts the things she does. So she doesn't count a man's job as 10 items because he gets stressed over it. Maybe he does 20 items at work, but she counts the 20 items she does at home. Then she compares to what he does at work. And then she gets like, she starts complaining to him for not being at home. And he feels that he's given her a lot and she's not appreciating. So rather than again ask him to work less, tell him how much it would mean to her if they spend time together, what it will give her. And whenever he's given to her, appreciate. The more we appreciate, the more we expand. It's like the universal law. Appreciation brings you more of what you want.
Wow. And what about for the men?
So in terms of men, what is the exact question?
So in terms of men, what would you say is the core issue when it comes from their side?
They don't talk. They don't tell you what's the problem. So the guy who feels criticized will spend more time at work and avoids coming back to the criticism. So rather than express his needs, express it, because he feels that that will bring him down, make him feel like less. It's weakness to have needs. But needs are not weakness. They're actually our survival instinct telling us that what that's how we set boundaries. Mm-hmm. Without knowing our needs, we cannot set boundaries.
Right. So why is there a big misconception or like this, this common idea that we all know that men don't talk and women talk, or men can't express themselves or men don't express themselves? Where is that coming from? Why is it so hard for men to express their feelings and talk and express their needs?
Don't forget, we're living in a society for years and years and years. Men have been ingrained. Like when a little boy cries, people are actually like, oh, but little boys shouldn't cry. So the boy from the very early age has been taught that feelings are wrong. And then, of course, he gets an emotional woman later, and that's the guy who really, really rejects his feelings within himself. So that's the shadow aspect of him. Then he will attract a woman who's too emotional. And then he doesn't understand her emotions, and he also starts rejecting those emotions rather than expressing it. So it's actually the dynamic has been ingrained in us throughout century that is weak for a man to express feelings. But a man will talk about anything else. He will talk about sports, he will talk about his business, he will be excited. So if you ask him about something he's the expert or pro in, watch him speak for hours for you.
Interesting. And I love how you spoke a little bit about this word called shadow work. I'm so curious about this. What exactly is shadow work, and what did you mean by you attract your partner based on your shadows? What does that mean? So let's start with shadow. What exactly is shadow?
Okay, so your shadow is an aspect of yourself that is within you, but you deny it. Mm. Most of shadow work is the negative or unhealthy aspects that we deny or reject within us.
Like, can you give an example?
Yeah. So for example, if you will notice a woman going around saying that everybody's jealous of me. That's actually her shadow, because she feels jealous of everyone. She feels everyone is jealous of her. But that is the shadow, because she rejects the jealousy within herself. So she doesn't notice it. And now she's noticing it in the outside world.
Because it's in her awareness.
It's in her psyche, because like attracts like. So whatever we're attracting into our reality in terms of partners, so the over-emotional girl, the over-emotional people come to my session and they're like, oh, but I'm connected to my emotions. I feel my emotions. No, you're not feeling your emotions. Why? Because an emotional person, the emotion is screaming to be heard. The emotion is just a guide. It's our guide that something is wrong, for example, or something is right. So if we're happy, you're doing something right. If you're sad, angry, resentful, there's something you're doing wrong. Attend to that. If we attend to those emotions and feelings, we won't be over emotional. The same as the person who rejects their emotion. So both are disconnected. So they attract each other in their disconnection. So this is the shadow. It comes with the same vibration, like rejecting your emotion, but the polar opposite. So we attract our polar. So whatever we're attracting is a shadow aspects of us.
So for example, if would this be an example of shadow work? For example, if I feel low in self-esteem and weak and I feel like I can't express myself, then I will be attracting a partner that is the opposite, which is very overpowering, maybe abusive. Is that right?
Exactly. So what happens is that, for example, let's take on narcissism. The opposite to that is codependency. Now, people think if you're a codependent, so overgiven, the narcissist has a lot of self-love. No. Narcissism comes from lack of self-love. Codependency comes from a lack of self-love. The way they respond to the same energy is the narcissist proves to itself, or her or him, that the more I take, it proves that I'm lovable, so I can take as much as I can, so I'm loved. Now, the codependence gives as much as it can to receive the love. That's why the codependent is drained out of energy, because it's overgiven. And the narcissist, whatever is given, is not feeling it gets given.
Because it's like enough. take.
They take, but they don't feel satisfied. They're always criticizing, bullying, because you're not giving me my worth, because they don't feel worthy.
Wow.
So they're looking for worth from the outside world, and the other side is looking for the worth outside world. So it's like the polar opposite attracting each other.
It's fascinating how it's such a subconscious behavior, the way people react in relationships, right? And the very way that you get attracted to a person is based on this void or this wound, that you would say.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. So how would you then, okay, let's say you are in a relationship now. Let's say you are in a relationship with a partner, and you now identify this. You identify this and you're not in a position to break up with a partner, or let's say you don't want to, even though you acknowledge the downsides or the negative side of the relationship. What do you do then? What are the options?
So if you're happy with it, is there anything you really need to do? If you're unhappy with the situation, you mean?
Yeah.
So if you're hurt about it, then what we would do is work on the hurt part. But often what happens is, so in a session, and you know hypnotherapy, so you know what I'm talking about, so I do theta healing. And what we do, we dig and we go into the wound, and we go so much into the wound, so the pain of today goes away. If they come a couple of sessions, or sometimes it takes longer, they shift. And when they shift, either the partner shifts with them, or they can't be with that partner. So they are no longer attracted to that vibration or energy.
And how does that work? Because this is something that I've also experienced, where when there is an internal shift within you, when you work on your wounds, then the people around you start shifting. How does that work? And why does that work?
It works because your energy, I mean, the behavior, the energy changes, first of all, and you know how subtle the energy is and how sensitive as humans we are to the energy. But above that, our behaviors were changed. So there was one client I worked on for one session, and it doesn't always happen in one session. As you know, sometimes they are required to do various sessions. The issue was the fear of losing their partner. Once I worked on that one issue, and it was resolved in one session, the person shifted completely with their partner, and the partner was like, what did you do? He's completely changed. And I'm like,
wow.
Just once the fear is gone, the person changes, and the other person will obviously respond in a different way. So that insecurity is not there for you to control the other person or try to like be too nice to the other person. So once we work with the wounds, your behavior naturally changes as well. So a person who's like, if a person doesn't know how to set boundaries and now suddenly are setting boundaries, people might get pissed off because, sorry about that.
No, but that makes so much sense, because this just shows how a lot of the way we act are based on coping strategies.
Exactly.
And once we have the awareness of where this is coming from, what's exactly causing it, then we no longer have to live in that pattern. We can now choose the more optimal or the highest path we can take in life. Exactly. So what are, in your experience, what are some tips or what are some ways in which people can start working on their wounds or working with their partners? Can you share a little bit of insight on that?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the first thing, even the men or women have to notice, is that emotion that comes up, whether it's anger, resentment. What's causing you the anger? What's the emotion? What is the wound? Why are you angry? That's the first thing. So start journaling about the things that are making you upset, making you angry, and try to dig deep into those emotions. So what is the core? What is the cause of that emotion? Mm. When was it? When did it start, this wound?
Okay. And so like complete awareness of the starting of the emotion, like what exactly is the emotion, when did it start, and exactly. What are the triggers? And then?
Also a lot of self-love, self-acceptance, understanding that we're human. We all make mistakes. Those mistakes are there for us to learn from it and expand and grow and become evolved. None of us came to this world knowing everything. And to expect that from ourselves is huge. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who feel, for example, loneliness is because they're always like hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. So be easy on yourself. Take it easy on yourself. Acknowledge your emotions. Acknowledge and try to understand. Sometimes put yourself in the shoes of your partner and see it from their perspective. And if you're having a problem with your partner, maybe write a list of why I'm angry, why I feel sad, what do I love about you, just put like a list and get the partners to do the same thing and exchange that, like the things I appreciate about you, but I get angry because of this, but the emotion, not accusation, not blame, because a lot of us blame. And as soon as we start blaming, we put the other person in defense. But when we express our feelings, so it hurts me when you do that because it makes me feel I'm unlovable. It makes me feel unwanted. It makes me feel rejected. It allows the other person to see how their behavior is affecting you. Mm. And then they can explain like, no, this is not what I meant. This is this. So
interesting. So just to go a little bit back, when you say to step into their shoes, right? And that just made me think, a lot of the women, or not a lot, but there are some women in relationships who tend to be the man in the relationship or wear the pants in the relationship and the role switch. How does that affect a relationship? And what are the consequences of that? Or is that okay? How does that work?
Well, there are some women that are naturally in their masculine energy, and in which case they don't mind it.
Yeah.
There are women who start with masculine energy because they have had to be the man in the family for some reason or another. Maybe there was an absence of man in their family. Maybe the man was in his feminine energy, or like they're taking on a certain energy. If you feel unfulfilled in your relationship, if you feel that your man is not stepping up, if you feel the man is not doing what a masculine energy has to do, then you are most likely acting from your masculine energy. And a lot of really, really feminine women actually bring in that masculine energy and the wounded masculine to protect them, to keep them safe, because they are also wounded. But once we balance these emotions, for example, one of the qualities of the feminine energy is unconditional love. And it's beautiful to unconditionally love people. But without the masculine energy to balance it, we actually hurt ourselves. How? Because the unconditional love is not just for the outside world. It has to be for the inside world. And what does unconditional love mean is I fully accept and honor you. But that doesn't mean that I will accept your behavior towards me. I accept that you're upset now, but please, you have no right to behave like that with me. So it's about speaking and talking from a place of compassion towards the other person, yet with boundaries. So this is what we call a balanced feminine and a balanced masculine.
Well, so a lot of communication and the right way, I would say as well.
Communication with compassion towards the other person.
That's beautiful.
And expressing your truth, not blaming.
That, I feel like that is usually the hardest way, because let's say if you're having this communication with a person, and if let's say we're in a relationship and I'm telling you, okay, I feel this way, I don't feel loved, or I don't feel supported, and so on. How do you then manage not, okay, let's say you do get triggered. So as a wounded masculine, you do get triggered. But how do you then manage that and not be defensive?
That's the thing. You have to work on your wounds. You have to heal those wounds, whether via journaling, whether seeking a coach, a psychologist, definitely healer. I think healing modalities are a lot faster ways of dealing with these wounds. And the more you heal those wounds, the less reactive you become.
Got you. So I want to dive in a little bit about another important area of relationship, which is sexual relationships.
Okay.
So what are the issues that can rise in this area due to the feminine and masculine imbalance?
This is an interesting one, because on the sexual aspect of it, a lot of people think the men all want the sexual aspect, but I've had so many women complain about the sexual aspect in my consultations. Mm-hmm. So, and they want more, and the man doesn't want as much. So it's like, you, before you get into this field, you don't think that is the case, but that is actually the reality. And I believe that part is a very important part in a relationship.
Of course.
It's like 70% of the relationship. There is a lot of modalities that actually work with these things and can get you more in tune. But I feel a lot of situations is also when the woman, for example, feels unloved, unvalued, unseen, unheard, she will actually be less, more reluctant to, for example, go into that sexual aspect, because it's the emotional chakra, it's the energy chakra, right?
Right.
And if the guy is stressed at work, anxiety with work, too much work, his focus is on somewhere else, and we know how men are, they can't focus on two things, they can't multitask. Or some of them can, but rarely they can. Then what happens is their focus is so much on that thing that they're unable to. Again, they need to work on their anxiety, their fears, and once these fears and anxieties around the relationship is linked, then they can come from, because that's an expression of love, right? Sexual energy is an expression of love and union between two people.
So when you mention about the different modalities, can you name a few modalities that can help?
The best one is Tantra.
Okay.
Because it actually explains how when the other one goes into their masculine energy, you can actually move into your feminine, and how to balance and counteract and work, and how to get the man to be more in his masculine. And when the man is more in his masculine, he becomes more attracted to you without knowing how. And when a man is able to put you in your feminine quality, so the fear, the feeling of security is there, when you feel seen, when you feel heard, you become fully feminine, you go into your feminine energy, and you become attracted unknowingly to the man who brings and arises all these emotions within you.
Wow, that's very insightful. I didn't know that. Well, Tony, I think we are coming to an end to the show, and I personally love this chat. So as an ending note, is there anything you would like to share to our listeners from your side?
Well, what I would say is masculine and feminine is about balancing your energies and coming from a place of love rather than fear. Because what happens when we go from a place of love, we reach our optimized version of ourselves. When we're moving away from things or behaving from a place of fear, we actually destruct that very thing we want. So find a solution and work on these fears, anxieties, in order to get you to your optimal state, so your partner either moves with you, you balance your partner naturally, or if the partner is too toxic, then to be able to move on to a better partner, or your next partner to be a better one.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was extremely insightful, and I couldn't agree more with you. How can people find you? How can people find you, get in touch with you if they want your help? How do they go about doing that?
So I'm always at Illumination. So if anybody needs, I'm available at any time.
And your social media handle, how can people find you online?
It's Miss Inspirer.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for listening to our show today. And thank you, Tony, for joining us. I can't wait to get back to you with more speakers and more topics, with more advice. Until then, stay safe and take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.